The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held at Waits Lake Bible Camp near Valley, Washington, on October 19 and 20, 2023.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here with all of you, and thank you to all the people who put a lot of work into this. Okay, on the bus to Florida. The title here, or the little descriptor: send four people to Florida in a bus, and you'll have four ways of getting there. Recognizing personality differences and varying work styles and benefiting from them will make the journey a smooth and successful one. So let me tell you a story about an imaginary group of four people with unnaturally one-dimensional personalities. And let's imagine them being commissioned by their church to take a bus to Florida for some reason. And just as all of these personality things and work styles go, it doesn't totally speak to how complex humans are by a long shot, but I think there's things to learn from this particular thing. And you can start to imagine yourself in this situation to see what you might tend toward. Or imagine your spouse or someone you've worked with a lot. You can start to imagine, maybe see some of their tendencies. Or maybe imagine somebody you struggle with and what their tendencies might be. That might be the most important one of all to think about. Okay, so person one, upon hearing about this job of going to Florida, walks directly out of the meeting and jumps into the bus, and after a period of time deemed long enough for everyone to have had plenty of time in his estimation to get ready, he might softly at first start to beep the horn a little bit, and maybe with increasing length and urgency lead with action. He you could maybe call the controlling, taking guy. He just wants to get the job done. He heard about a job. Let's go do the job. And that is good. I think that one important thing to remember about these is there's not really good and bad traits up here. They are just traits. So, okay, person two, they might hang in the back of the meeting after the others have left. Why are we going to Florida, he might ask. What are we using to pay for gas? Where in Florida are we going exactly? And what route are we taking to get there? When are we supposed to be there? Do we have gas now in the bus? Or diesel, as the case may be? I think this might be a gas bus. Has the oil been changed recently? How are the tires? What if we have a breakdown? Who do we call? Do we have a battery charger for our cell phone? I think if the first guy would still be here, he might start to be a little, well, of course, you bring your own cell phone charger, right? Maybe just as they're leaving, he squeaks out another, did everyone remember their wallet? And you could call this person the conserving holding person. He'll look at the maps and help to make a schedule. And again, he's an important person. And there's no right or wrong there. I think it's a good thing. Person three looks for ways to help out others with the jobs others have chosen. Flexible on things and isn't easily flustered. We can eat wherever the group decides and just happy to be along, making this a wonderful trip with great friends. This person might be the most likely to hear the inner confidences and inner worries of the rest of the group. This is the help everyone get along person. And they know people, and they usually get along with others. Maybe this person steps in to relieve some tension if person one and two get frustrated at each other, start to argue. Maybe this person stops or talks everyone into stopping for ice cream and packs a game or two and sits in the back with someone and draws people into long conversations. This person is a great listener. Let's others speak up first and make sure everyone is heard. I forgot an important thing. The first person might think about things in terms of the pronoun I. The second person might think in terms of the pronoun it. This person would probably think in the terms of you, pronoun you. Okay, person four is especially and immediately focused on doing a great job. They might ask for clarifications on the goals for the trip. When should we try to be there by? Is there a budget we should try to stay within? How can we make this the best bus trip to Florida anyone could ask for? This person is maybe focused on making a perfect experience. They might sit in the back and research trip advisors for great restaurants or look over Expedia looking for the best hotel near the perfect landmark. They would want to listen to good podcasts about interesting things and great music, and their stories would be the perfect one. They tend to think about things in terms of the pronoun we. They want everything to go excellently. So what is the opportunity here? What can we learn from these four unnaturally individual people? We can identify, or you can identify, your own tendencies. You can think about the tendencies of others or those around you. Then you can zero in on the void in the overall group and do your best to fill the gap. If there's nobody telling you to leave, you probably need to do that. If there's no one picking a great restaurant, I would recommend you doing that. What if everyone was the Leave for Florida all-star action person, though? Well, you wouldn't remember everything, would you? It would just be a breakdown or run out of gas situation. What if everyone was the sit and talk, adaptable person? Good conversations, but you might never leave. What if everyone was quiet and reserved and working for the perfect outcome, excellence person? Might do an excellent job, but a whole bunch fewer things. And then what if everyone was the methodical, steadfast, detail-oriented person? These ideas aren't new, of course, and I'm sure you know how helpful it can be to have a good partner in difficult situations. What did not come naturally for me at all was to realize how helpful the people I initially thought had the completely wrong approach could be. If everything someone on your team does seems too detailed or slow or too fast and sloppy or too harsh or too lenient, it's worth pondering if they might be an exceptional teammate for you, if you can get a chance to work along. The hard part is working out how to engage them in a meaningful and productive way without being disgruntled by them all the time. If engaged respectfully, the different approaches will develop a healthy push-pull. Like Gary Miller, I think it was, talked about this with the muscle and the bone. Jonathan brought that up when we were on a call about this. It's another interesting analogy we could use, but that push-pull will in turn produce better decision-making, better leadership of your school. Even though some people are very effective and wise, I don't think I've ever been around someone who is a complete package on their own. All of us need something, and some of us need a lot of things. If you begin to think you are a pretty complete package, I think it might be worth, you know, looking at doing some honest self-reflection and maybe a good time for some input from a third party. A spouse works well here. Yes, and just emphasizing the point, I think the rate of good decisions and productive outcomes goes up dramatically when you work together as a team with people who don't share your approach in context. So, some more subtle cues. What are some ways to respond? Some might be in the background and always willing to share the load to do a great job. You can see these people who might be picking up many of the overlooked tasks or doing most of the maintenance at your school. Maybe they are overloaded from quietly volunteering and being too willing. Something you could do is ask them, that particular person, ask them what needs done and then step in to help. Someone else might be the best person to draw others out. And that person might not be very willing to share in a public meeting. So drawing those people out is imperative. You can learn a lot from them, usually the ones who don't want to talk. Others might be great at getting results and pushing things forward. For a task-oriented person, a simple question after every meeting you could ask, just so they feel a bit more secure, is who is doing what by when? Just, are we going to make progress or was this all talk? And hopefully you have someone, I think this is the most rare one, but hopefully you have someone on the team who is exceptional at building relationships and community trust. Teacher trust and parental relationships are vital to a healthy school. So take time to give that particular person time to talk in your meetings. What does he know? Human beings are challenging and beautiful and interesting and frustrating and confusing. And the only known sentient species on Earth, made in the image of God, and so far it seems like worth all the trouble. What if we could each learn to work together to move quickly and skillfully towards God's given, toward our God-given and excellent purpose while getting along and enjoying each other more? I think the peace and fulfillment of better working relationships is well worth the focused attention to detail and the humility it takes to understand and work with one another just a bit better all the time. Blessings.